This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.985 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studio. Adam Jones filling in for Fred today. And excuse me, I'm about to do something that they teach you not to do in radio school, and that's to be all over the place with about 18 different subjects in my head. Let's first start with this one. Arthur on line two. You are on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, Rich. I'm just calling in about your statement with Anthony Davis, and I totally agree. I feel that we should let our young team grow. Kyrie's a flake. He's going to go join Kevin Durant in New York. Let him go, sign Rozier, and let our team grow.
Okay, I half agree with you, and I half completely disagree with you. The Anthony Davis thing, I'm really starting to come around on, and I think you hope that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, all those guys, continue to grow and become badasses, and then it would be great for everyone if you didn't have to deal with the whole Anthony Davis situation. However, you can't win a championship without Kyrie Irving. You have to do everything you can to keep Kyrie Irving.
And Why would you take a step back?
And that's the one thing that I will say would make Anthony Davis...
choice. Okay, but I mean, he's saying let Irving go.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's stupid. And I've heard so many people say that when they were playing well without him, you don't need Kyrie Irving. You do. Yeah. Kyrie Irving is a closer. Oh, he won LeBron a ring. We agree, right? Kyrie Irving is the reason he has that ring.
He did. Irving was the guy in Game 7.
I mean, he was the guy.
He hit the biggest shot, one of the biggest shots in NBA Finals history.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Kyrie Irving is that X factor that could get you to win a championship. However, if getting Anthony Davis is the one thing that locks in Kyrie Irving to sign an extension with his team, it's worth it. You got to keep Kyrie Irving on this team. And I'm willing to deal with a little bit of BS in order to get us to the offseason and have him sign an extension. I am. All this BS to me is worth it as long as he signs an extension. However, I would much prefer you not trading guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You hope that they become something monstrous in the postseason, and then Danny goes, you know what? I think we have something special here. Maybe look for another piece to bring in there, but I would much prefer, because Durant's going to be gone anyway. Durant's leaving Golden State Warriors, so you're already taking a chunk out of that. Let's say you make it to the finals again. You know, what team is it going to be? What team are you going to be facing? It's not going to be that same Warriors team.
No.
So who knows? But I that is one thing that I will not. Like, the Kyrie Irving, they're better without Kyrie Irving, is one of the most stupid arguments. You cannot say that. They play well without him, but he's the X factor.
They play well without him.
Well, yes.
I mean, they won in Philly. They've won more without him. I mean, you know, like, they've won at a higher clip.
Well, so they're 2-11 against winning teams on the road without Kyrie Irving.
Right. Again, their biggest win of the year probably came without Kyrie Irving. So I look at it and I say, they played really well without him. And I don't think they're better off without Kyrie, but for everyone who says, and normally gets phrased this way, well, you can't get to the NBA Finals without Kyrie Irving. I agree. I'm not sold you're getting there with him either. Like, you might be losing to Toronto in round two with him. So he's been a part of the problem at various points this year, for sure.
Well, I also don't think you're going to get there. I don't think you're going to get to the finals without him. As good as this team has looked,
I don't think so either.
Dude, Milwaukee's a beast. I mean, they're going to be a tough seven games. I think you own the Sixers. I'm not worried about them at all.
Oh, they own the Sixers. I'm a little more, I fear Toronto more than Milwaukee.
I have it reversed.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, Toronto's not going to be a walk in the park.
Toronto,
either.
To me, I fear more.
Why is that?
Because the Bucks are just, I still think the Bucks are just Giannis. Like, I don't really respect most of the other talent on that team.
They have a lot of role players that have slotted in behind him. Chris Middleton was an all-star this year. They have a lot of good role
players. But he's
having
a down year. He's having a bad, like, he made the all-star team this year, but he's having a bad year.
And they have a much better head coach. Mike Budenholzer is a very good head coach.
Yeah.
Okay. They have basically the same players last year to this year, year they have the best record in the East. Budenholzer's the only difference.
Yeah, he had a 60-win team with the Hawks, and they won nothing.
Oh,
so.
Okay. And you know what? Speaking of that, let's get to this, because I forgot I had this clip. You want to talk about someone I can't stand. And this is, once again, you tolerate Kyrie Irving, you know, a little bit. And I like Kyrie Irving. I do. He's just weird. And we knew this when the Celtics got him, we all knew he's a strange cat. But this, when he called LeBron James, I know things were going to get odd. And LeBron James finally talked about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen to LeBron.
I've only read it. I actually haven't heard it.
Oh, I hate LeBron.
The phone call, more than for me, I think just to see his growth. It takes a real man and a real person to understand who they are, to be able to call or to do anything and be able to see their wrongdoings or believe they have some wrongdoings, and then be able to come to grips with that and be able to either to apologize or say that at that point in time I thought I was ready for something, but I really wasn't.
Apologize, LeBron. You tried to trade him. You tried to trade him behind his back, and you're sitting there. It takes a real man to be strong and just say, you know what, LeBron, you were always right. And I was the wrong one the whole time, because LeBron's always right. I'm the one who's always right.
Honestly,
whatever happens in this league,
honestly,
I'm the man who's right.
It's hard to tell.
Ooh, I hate him.
If you just read a quote, this might be a good game. If you just read a quote from Kyrie or LeBron and didn't know who said it, and you only read it, I bet they're hard to tell apart now.
Oh, I don't think that's fair. I think they speak no.
I bet they'd be hard to tell apart.
Because at least Kyrie gives credit to other players a lot. Like when he talks.
Yeah, all the young guys on the team that he throws under the bus.
Well, that one quote was pretty ridiculous. What he was saying about, you know, how I sometimes these young players don't understand.
Yeah.
But he has also spoken
when he screamed at Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens after the Orlando loss. Like,
that's the crap you tolerate sometimes. You
no,
do.
Kyrie sounds like LeBron now. Kyrie sounds like LeBron.
I mean, yeah, a little bit.
The way he talks sounds like LeBron.
A little bit, but not to the extent of LeBron. LeBron's just like, it's
LeBron
all masturbatory.
LeBron is the king of all a-holes. That's true. The way Kyrie's not quite there yet, but he sounds a lot like LeBron.
I'm not going to knock it. And sticking around him that long, I guarantee you he's mimicked some of his awful qualities. And you've heard him say some of these things in the past couple of weeks. You're right. That do sound a little like LeBron. He has not reached peak LeBron. That's peak LeBron right there. When you call him, apologize, tell him you know how wrong he was and how right I was, because LeBron's always right about everything.
I'm not defending LeBron by any means. Yeah, no. He's insufferable.
Okay, all right. So let's, real quick, I said I was going to jump around. There's one last thing I want to mention, and that is that I saw a movie this weekend that gave me legitimate nightmares. There hasn't been a movie that I've seen. Man, what was the last movie I saw that actually, I dreamt about it and it freaked me out? I remember the first time I saw The Silence of the Lambs. That gave me nightmares.
Yeah,
that creeped me out enough.
That's one that'll creep you out, yeah.
The Descent was one of the scariest movies I had seen, but it did not give me nightmares. And this movie is not a horror movie. It's a documentary.
Oh,
The Road! Oh, I forgot. Dan reminded me, The Road. That movie's freaked. Did you see The Road?
No.
With Viggo Mortensen?
It's
about the end of the world, and he's a dad, and he has to, basically there's no more food. So, because the world has been destroyed, and he has to bring his son to the ocean. Apparently, that's where a bunch of survivors are, and there's a colony. But along the way,
it's like Waterworld.
But along the way, it's a bunch of cannibals trying to eat his child.
That's not like Waterworld.
No, not like Waterworld at all. And it's it has one of the most terrifying movie scenes that I've ever seen. Just know The Road. Avoid it if you can't take stuff like that. But the movie I saw this weekend was called Free Solo. Have you heard of this?
No.
Okay. It's about this guy, and I forget what his name is, but he's famous. And he is the greatest mountain climber without any kind of rope or support
world. I think Hardy's tweeted about this,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Hardy said it's one of the best movies he's seen in the past several years. So I watched it upon his recommendation. So the entire movie is basically a buildup for him wanting to climb this thing in Yosemite, which is apparently one of the biggest rocks or walls that you can climb up, and it's 3,000 feet high. And he wants to do it without any ropes. And they go through this extensive list of anyone who's ever been hardcore into free soloing is pretty much died doing it. And there's five guys in the last 4 years who all tried to do it, and they all fell to their death. And so this filming crew teams up with this guy, and he tells them, you know, I think I want to climb this thing. And they're all like, I don't know how I feel about wanting to film what could possibly be your death.
Right.
So the whole time this crew is dealing with, this guy lives in a van, by the way. His home is in a van. And
that sounds right.
He is just a weird dude. So, like, you know, the last 15 minutes of the movie is essentially him trying to climb this thing. The camera work in this is so unbelievable. Like, your stomach will kill you. I couldn't imagine. I don't think I could handle seeing it in a big theater.
That's what I was like, going to ask. You watch this, like, at your house and it was that bad?
I watched it on TV and it was that bad. Hardy saw it in a theater. And I don't know how you could deal with that. This movie is so, like, emotionally, it wrecked me so hard that I dreamt about it and it woke me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's so messed up. And the thing
about it sounds very interesting, but I don't need that.
Dude, the thing about this guy too is that they show him like climbing other ones that are just enough, I mean, that people have died on. And when he's done with it, the dude's got no emotion. Like, his girlfriend, or like, he'll like call his girlfriend who's worried that he's going to die.
He has a girlfriend?
Well,
he lives in a van.
Trust me, it's weird. The whole thing's weird. And he calls her, and she's, like, crying. Thank God he's alive. And he's like, yep, yeah, okay. I'll see you a little bit later on. I'm going to go work out. Like, the dude has no emotion, and it freaks me out. The dude is, like, hanging for his life, and they have this overhead shot where you just see, like, trees that look like they're fake little plastic trees because he's so far up, 3,000 feet. And he's literally, the way he's hanging is because his fingers are jammed into, like, a crevice, and it's his knuckles are the only thing holding him in. Like, he's, like, in one hand, like, hanging from it, and the camera's, like, the overhead shot, and when he's done, he's just like, yeah, okay, all right, thanks. I think I'm just going to go back to
my van now.
Yeah, I'm going to make a little dinner, and then I'm going to call it a night.
I'm going to make some pizza rolls in the van.
This movie it wrecks you. Like, the visuals are so intense that it actually woke me up in the middle of the night because I got freaked out about it. So see it at your own risk. So I want to thank Hardy for giving me that. I mean, the movie's amazing.
And you, like, just saw it this weekend?
I just saw it this weekend. I think it's on. I saw it on like Apple TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could see it. It is a genuinely terrifying film. So if you're into that, by all means. All I know is that when they go through all the guys that have fallen to their death, and you're sitting there watching this dude do the same thing, and you probably know how it's going to turn out, it doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. You might get so physically sick you'll vomit watching this movie. I wouldn't doubt it. Oh. I wouldn't doubt it for a minute. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll be back in a minute.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
You're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady. You're my butterfly, sugar, baby. What a sexy, sexy, pretty little thing. When did you do something about your tongue ring?
This was one of the worst bands I've ever seen live.
Wait, so,
can you name the band?
Yeah, Crazy Town, yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
It's frightening. Do you remember the name of the main rapper?
No, I definitely don't remember
He was somewhat shifty.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Shifty Shell Shock.
Okay. That was his name?
Yeah, not a Ninja Turtles character. No, that was his actual name. Shifty Shell Shock.
Shifty Shell Shock. Well, now that I know it, I won't forget it.
Yeah, that was one of the worst all-time live bands I've ever seen.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I didn't go to see them. It was at an Ozfest. And Ozfest had like one of those rotating stages. It was actually a great, like, there was a great setup, because what would happen was one band would finish, and then there would almost be no stop in the music because the stage would revolve and the next band was set up on the other side.
Oh, got it.
It was unbelievable. So the opening band was Black Label Society, who I'm an unashamed fan of. Yep. Massive fan. Zach Wilde, swilling drinks. And he was like, you know, this song's about the Vikings. This is called Berserkers. And here it comes right in your face. And they would just like, you know, swill drinks. And it was like super heavy. And he would laugh because it was kind of cheesy. But they blew the stage apart. It was great. And then the stage revolved.
Crazy Town.
And Crazy Town was there. And Crazy Town had two rappers that apparently couldn't hear each other because the entire time they were just talking over each other. You couldn't hear Jack. And it was just the entire place, almost in one unified brotherhood moment, flipped a solid middle finger right towards everyone on stage. God, they were the worst. Oh, Crazy Town. What a bad, bad band. Like, that was like, as bad as the rap rock thing was, they might have been the pinnacle of awfulness.
Like the worst of the worst.
And you know what? That song's not even that bad of a, like, when you listen to it on the radio, it's like not even awful. Like, it's like, okay. But live, they're the worst.
How are their deep cuts? Not so hot.
They had like a second track called like Revolving Door or something. That's one of the, that. Now that is very, very bad. All right. I was trying to figure out right now because John had a story. That's your crazy town talk for the morning.
Yep. Right.
I was trying to figure out what the ratings for week two of the AAF is because you have a story that's really, really funny. So the first thing, the AAF, of course, that is the football league.
Alliance of American Football.
Sure. That has basically all the scraps of people who don't play in the NFL
Correct.
Anymore. It's the one that Colin Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play. Christian Hackenberg is a star. However, the first week, it did really well.
Yep.
It beat the NBA in ratings and something else And it did okay, but we've seen this before with the XFL. The XFL's first week's ratings were through the roof. It beat Monday Night Football, I think, the year that it came out. And we were wondering, okay, so what's going to happen next? Well, apparently they're in deep trouble already.
The Athletic reported earlier this morning that they almost didn't make payroll before week two.
They're not even making any money. Aren't they making like $250 for 3 years?
This is
the players make like $60K to $80K on 1 year deals, and then exactly 3 years for like two. Yeah,
this is a league with CBS as a TV partner, TNT, Turner. I mean, there's some money coming in. They almost didn't make payroll last week, so they needed help. So the help they got was a $250 million investment by the Carolina Panthers owner Tom Dundon.
Okay,
Hurricanes.
So what was
that?
Hurricanes or Panthers?
I said Hurricanes. Okay. No, it is. I got it.
The guy who owns the Hurricanes.
Guy who owns the Hurricanes.
Okay, so how do you have a deal with CBS and TNT and all that and not
I don't know.
The money to pay your players?
Especially when they're making nothing. I have no idea.
I mean, they must have just said, we're going to give you a sandwich just to air this so people think that this is bigger than it actually is. And then we'll air it until, and the contract is probably, once the ratings dip below a certain number, we're not even going to carry anymore. I guarantee there's no guaranteed contract like that. I bet that if ratings got low, like in week three, that are like abysmal, they would
they
just
have
go
like an opt-out.
Yeah, an opt-out. They're saying we're not going to even show the playoffs or the finals or anything like that.
So Dundon, after investing $250 million, and I assume it's for the rest of the season.
It can't just be for a week.
Let's hope it's not just for a week.
It can't cost $250 million a week.
Dundon is the chairman of the team's board of investors.
Okay,
board of directors, sorry. He's the chairman of the board of directors. So what they did was sell the league to this guy after 2 weeks.
So the league cost $250 million?
Apparently.
For a year?
I guess.
Dude, what a waste. We've just seen this happen before. We've seen it with all these different people trying to challenge the NFL. Let people miss football. You can't have... football's not here anymore.
There's another league coming next year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
There's two. Well, there's the XFL, and what's the other one?
The Pacific, the one that Brady's agent is running. Don Yee's like running a league.
I thought that was
right.
A lacrosse league.
That's right.
No, it's football.
No, it is football. It is football. But it's the XFL, I thought, was for high school kids and college kids that wanted to leave school early and work on their game before the NFL took them. All of this, they're all minor leagues funneling to the NFL, but there's some people that should know what they're doing running this league, and they barely got out of week two.
The only way you're going to make this work is if somebody in one of these leagues sinks a ton of money into the guys that we truly want to see if they still got it. Kaepernick, Tim Tebow, although he's playing baseball, Jamarcus Russell.
I want Jamarcus Russell on a football field. I want Jared Lorenzen on a football field. That's who I want to see.
Matt Leinart.
Matt Leinart. Good call.
Like, get these guys that you want to know, okay, this will be kind of funny. Let's see if they still got it.
Agreed.
But you got to sink money into it because guys like Leinart, I think he does like play-by-play, or he does a commentary for one of the college networks or something like that.
I want Jeff Fisher as a head coach.
Yeah. Yes. Dude,
saw him on the sideline again.
During
one of the games last week. No, he's like, on the AAF, these game day operations, making sure everything runs smoothly or some title like that.
It's a good gig.
But every team needs to have one guy that is a, whoa, you got him?
Yeah.
Like a Michael Vick or something like that. Like, whoa. Does he still got it? Like somebody that will get you talking. And right now, Christian Hackenberg isn't the guy. He's not the guy that's going to get you to tune in.
I think the way to be viable is, I think that would get people to tune in.
Yeah.
What your scenario, I wonder how, after seeing Michael Vick once and you're like, meh, I wonder how
That's a fair point.
Long the shelf life would last for, but at least it would get people to tune in. I think there is a way to capitalize in the NFL. You have to go to school. You have to be 3 years removed from high school. So, one of the things that Don Yee's league, and I forget the name of it, the Pacific Football League or something like that, Like he said, we want Trevor Lawrence, the kid at Clemson. He can't leave for the draft. He won the title as a freshman. He's stuck in college for two more years. They have an agreement with Adidas. Like, get the kid an endorsement deal. Get him playing professionally. Like, there is a window for those kids who are stuck in school and can't play in the NFL yet.
But why would they do that?
Because they can get paid in the meantime and get an endorsement deal.
But they can be protected by the school. I don't know. I just...
Like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I don't know that it's like a four-team league. Like, I'm not saying it's... But I think there is a window to get those kids. And then there's enough buzz. We know who Trevor Lawrence is. You want to see him. Oh, he's going to be a high pick. Maybe I'll watch this league. Like, I think that's the opportunity, but I don't know that anybody can really capitalize on it. And obviously, you're failing in week two, not paying anyone. What happens when you start paying these guys?
What is XFL going to do that the AAF hasn't done? What rule change can you throw out there?
Yeah, see,
I want to be in.
They're screwed because they're second.
Yeah.
Like, they're screwed.
Like, get me Johnny Manziel. Get me Johnny Manziel.
Well, I mean, that's Vince McMahon knows this. He'll get Johnny Manziel to play in that league. Like, of course he will.
Let me see Johnny Manziel. Let me see what he's got. You know, give me Rocket Ismail.
Rocket Ismail. He's got to be 45 by now.
Give me Jerry Rice. Let's see if he's still got it.
I bet you Jerry Rice could do it.
Dude, Jerry Rice looked good.
Jerry Rice could do it.
Jerry Rice looked good.
Yeah, Zoe would do it.
What, Manziel?
Zoe.
Oh, Scott Zolak.
Give me Scott Zolak. You want eyes on the TV? You get Scott Zolak out there.
You get Zoe out there.
Zolak would be good right up until
then. Zoe to the Rocket.
Do you remember the welt that was on Adolfo's stomach?
Yes.
When Scott Zolak...
Yes.
How many yards do you think that pass was?
20.
20?
20.
20-yard pass. Threw it to Adolfo, and he had a welt on his stomach that didn't go away for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But that dude could still sling it. If you've ever been a quarterback in the NFL, and I don't care if you're a backup or whatever,
yeah.
You know, you hear that all the time. It's like, oh, you're a good poor guy. If you played in the NFL
the arm doesn't leave
you. You've got to go.
The body may leave you, but the arm does not.
I've seen Zoe, you know, throw a couple of times, and... It's all of a sudden he's like, once he's like loosened up, it's like, oh, those are fast. You know, like there's a little bit of a little bit of an acclimation warm up period.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, he's uncorking those things.
I wonder when the last time he actually just like went full tilt throwing a ball to somebody. Probably, like, I'd like to see him get somebody. It probably was. Maybe he was encouraged to do that.
There was a little extra to that, I think.
A little bit of prodding. Yeah. On that. All right. We have John Wallach's headlines. Then we'll get to Stack right afterwards.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
A5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones filling in this morning, by the way. I ranked my Batman. Number one, Michael Keaton. Number two, Ben Affleck. Number three, Will Arnett. Number four, Christian Bale. Number five, Val Kilmer. Number six, George Clooney. Christian Bale. Okay, people freak out. Dark Knight, definitely the best Batman movie. Christian Bale, when he talked in that stupid low voice, it was aggravating.
I mean, it's a little much. That's true.
It was way much. It was way much. Keaton's the best. Ben Affleck underrated as Batman. The movies sucked. The Batman movies that was in were awful.
But the Batman performance, you're saying.
Not his fault. And matter of fact, the guy who played Superman, not his fault. I think he was a good Superman. And those movies weren't that good. Man of Steel is like half a good movie. But the Batman versus Superman, I mean, that movie sucked. And it's not Ben Affleck's fault, but he is out. He said he's not going to do it anymore. Someone said, rank the Jokers. I said, Heath Ledger, number one, and at number 468, Jared Leto from Suicide Squad. That was embarrassing. Like, that was like the Hot Topic Joker. Wow, I'm so twisted. Oh, that was... gives me chills just thinking about how bad that was. All right, so Julian Edelman, as you know, he had the big beard, and he shaved them suckers, and he said, you know what? I am going to auction off my beard clippings. This is a thing. And that happened with, during the World Series a couple years ago when you had David Gomes Ortiz and Gomes and all those guys. And even the bullpen cop who raised his hands shaved his beard.
Did he?
And he looked nothing like he disappeared. When they shaved that guy's beard, you wouldn't even recognize him. You didn't think it was the same guy. But he ended up, Julian Edelman, shaving off his beard, and the trimmings were going for charity. The opening bid was $1,000. But that was quickly surpassed, and the leading bid ended up going for $2,100.
Wow.
So somebody spent $2,100.
And nobody's more happy about that than Julian Edelman.
To get the beard trimmings for Julian Edelman.
Yep.
So whoever that person is, I would immediately want to find out where they lived and get a restraining order. I'm going to sleep with it, sniff it, and roll around and love it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, by the way, agrees with us as far as Anthony Davis and his whole team completely messing everything up. Here's Kareem being asked about it this weekend.
He and his team have already messed it up. Yeah. I had a good relationship with the Milwaukee front office. And I told them, I didn't do a public thing with it. I told them privately.
Right.
That I wasn't going to resign. But, I said, look, make the best deal that you can. I'll keep my mouth shut and go along with it. But here's where I want to go and see what you can do and see what you can get. And, they were able to work behind closed doors a lot more effectively.
Whereas today, everything's public, it seems.
And it's on the media and everything. So that's unfortunate because, a lot more can be done behind closed doors. If somebody's toes get stepped on, an apology can be made and you can keep negotiating,
Well, then just once again, turn to your agent and go, what the F did you do? You messed up all of this.
That's so fraudulent. Garnett made similar comments over the weekend,
he
too.
Did.
And it's like, you requested out. You did the exact same thing Anthony Davis did. It's more public, but he requested out of Milwaukee, just like Garnett requested out of Minnesota, just like Anthony Davis wants out of New Orleans. It's the same thing.
Let's go to Sean. He's got an opinion on the matter. Sean, line one, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey. So to defend the Christian Bale Batman thing, in the original script for Batman Begins, he was supposed to have a voice modulator in the throat of his cowl that made him more intimidating. And then when they went to go shoot, Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale said together, well, wouldn't it be, more imposing if we got rid of that? And it was just to have the two different aspects of him where it's more terrifying if he changes his voice like that. And then if you notice, they did this throughout the three movies. It gradually got deeper and more gravelly and worse. And they thought it was just going to be more terrifying.
It was embarrassing. It was stupid. And if that's Christopher Nolan's fault, which it's not, because Christopher Nolan makes great movies and he's perfect, then shame on him.
But it got worse.
Worse.
Right, it definitely
you sound like Assy McGee after a while.
The initial portrayal, not so bad. I don't think it was that bad initially. It got worse.
Listen, he was better than Clooney. He was better than...
He was better than Keaton.
He was better... No. Keaton was the best. Keaton was the best because Keaton was like a normal guy. He was like a fun, like Bruce Wayne, whatever. And then everyone tried to be, I'm the darker than you. I'm the darkest guy in the world. Michael Keaton was the best. And by the way, somebody said that... why do you hate the third Batman movie? So what was it? Batman Forever? Or what was the one that had Bane in it? Because it sucked. By the way, Ben Affleck, the one thing I'll say about his Batman movie... The Ben Affleck Batman movie, he straight up murdered cops in it. Like, he killed cops, which is, like, something that superheroes aren't supposed to do.
Yeah.
There's a scene where all these police officers, like, come in. He, like, murders a bunch of guys. Like, all right, well, maybe that's not quite being the good guy. Maybe you don't murder the good guys. Maybe you don't murder cops in your movie. But
that was,
he did that.
That was Ben Affleck.
That was the Ben Affleck one. No, but the Bane movie sucked. And I think that Tom Hardy is one of those guys, too, that's, like, a wildly overrated actor as well. And, like, why did he have a British accent? Why did Bane have a British accent? He, like, grew up in, like, the desert, I think. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm doing it because I'm evil and classy at the same time.
He's sophisticated.
Oh, yeah. That movie was the worst. A million plot holes in that one, which sucked because it was right after a movie that was so good that young Nick quit the show for it to go to the screen.
Never let him forget that.
No, because it was one of the all-time funny things. All right, by the way, speaking of... movies. The Dirt, the Motley Crue film, is finally coming out on Netflix, which, by the way, The Dirt is the best movie, the best book I've ever read. Best book I've ever read.
I bought that book because I heard you and Fred talking. This is years ago. Mm-hmm. I heard you and Fred talking about it. Read it. Awesome book.
Best book.
It's awesome book.
Because it's got four guys who aren't afraid to just talk trashes on the other ones. One guy killed a dude. Another guy was dead and came back to life. It's got the whole Pam and Tommy Lee stuff. It's got Tommy Lee talking about when he was in prison and people found out that he was the one who did all that stuff to Tommy Lee. They would try to beat it. Like, you did that to her? And everyone tried to kick his ass in jail. It's got all the crazy groupie stuff that they pulled off. I mean, it was... How those people are still alive.
So is it just a special, like, on the book?
They're doing a movie of what happened in the book.
Okay,
based on
the
book.
Got it.
Yeah, and then Netflix is doing
it. It's not like a documentary.
The trailer comes out today, and apparently it's pretty amazing. So Team USA had a $1 million bounty, apparently, for anyone who could dunk on Yao Ming. During this weekend, Alex Wong of Yahoo Sports ended up talking with Kevin Garnett. And then there was a story that came out about, it said, quote, first of all, people didn't know we had a bounty out on Yao Ming. The whole USA team had a bet. We had a $1 million bet on who was going to be the first person to dunk on him. None of us did. We all tried to dunk on Yao, but he would block it or we would miss. So the first thing I thought of when I saw Vince dunk over, what was his name? Frederick? Is that this weekend?
Frederick Weiss, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, crap, you won the $1 million. But then I realized, obviously, it wasn't Yao. I pushed Vince, and if you look at the clip, he almost punches me in the face by accident. My first thought was, oh, blank, you won. You got the $1 million. So apparently they just tried over and over and over to dunk on Yao Ming, and no one was able to.
That's all they were trying to do.
Yeah, and everyone was trying.
There has to be so much of that in professional sports, right?
Oh, because they've got so much money and they're bored?
Yeah, like it doesn't have to be sinister like what they were doing in New Orleans. It's like, hey, if you dunk on this guy, we're all going to pool together. You get $1 million. Like, there has to be so much of that, well, I would think.
Well, speaking of like rock biographies, you want to talk about people with money, like daring people to do stupid stuff. In the Van Halen book, it was actually the Sammy Hagar one, which I think you read.
Yep.
So Alex Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen used to just bet all their like roadies, the stupid stuff for tons of money. And at one point, was it Eddie Van Halen that bet one of their roadies that he couldn't jump over a broomstick? And when he tried to jump over, he like caught his feet and went face first.
I thought that was Alex. I thought Alex was the one who put feet first.
The Alex story is the one where Alex Van Halen got up and started dancing on the hibachi grill at a Benihana.
Oh, that's right. And burned it. Yeah.
So he got up there. And he was so drunk and he got up and started dancing and he slipped and fell and just went face first onto the burner at Benihana, but he was so drunk that it took him like 2 to 3 seconds to actually feel the pain. Yeah. So his skin was cooking on the grill, and he just got up slowly, like, and they said it was like a horror movie with his skin
peeling off,
dripping off of his face over at the Benihana. So good times with the Van Halen crew.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with 2 full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.